Good morning. I'm glad to be here.
All right. Your phone calls and questions for the candidate now, 985-5803 or star 1340. I want to ask you a couple while we're seeing if we get some phone calls this morning. Okay?
Please feel free.
First, I want to ask you about some of the endorsements you've seen since the last time you and I spoke, or some of the endorsements that that are on your electoral resume at this point.
Well, I've received the endorsement of the Illinois Family Institute, Illinois Family PAC, Eagle Forum, the Illinois Federation for Right to Life, Illinois Citizens for Life, Illinois Citizens for Ethics, and the Chicago Tribune. Those are the endorsements that I've racked up so far. I think there's more coming. I received a perfect score from the NRA, who is not endorsing in my race because we're both not incumbents. So they're only endorsing in incumbent races where someone who's been an incumbent has already shown above and beyond what they needed to do. But I have received a perfect score from the NRA. So those are the endorsements that I can think of off the top of my head. I think there might be one or two more out there that I need to think about.
You know, when it comes to this resume, you know, what's interesting is what I hear in it. And that is that we're talking about there's some very fundamental principles that you are very fervent about.
Yes. And those are the fundamental principles of the Republican Party. The Republican Party has never deviated from its stance on life. The Republican Party has never deviated from its stance on the Second Amendment. And those are two issues that I will never deviate from as well. I think that's an important distinction that people need to know about. My opponent has said that we need compromise on some of those issues. There are some things that we need to compromise on, obviously, with the budget and the crisis that's going on there. However, on these fundamental core Republican principles, I will not compromise.
When it comes to these core principles, some say, look, at this point in the junction, why are we talking about guns? We should be talking about the budget. Why are we talking about this or that? We should be talking about the budget, that it seems to be the singular item people are attracted to on a fundamental level. But you listen to the Democratic debate last night and you look at their comments about guns. Clearly, that's going to be an issue in Washington and, of course, in Illinois, concealed carry and all the things that we've seen recently and laws that didn't stand up to constitutional tests, things along that line. Your thoughts when it comes to the budget and a Senate seat like Senator Dave Luckenfeld's, and what can be done to remedy the situation that Illinois finds itself in?
Well, people are concerned about the budget. Real quick, though, on the subject of guns, it's interesting because we were told that this last legislative session and when the governor was elected that we would not be talking about social issues. But the Democrats have been putting forward social issues bills one after another after another. So even though we would rather be talking about the budget, and I agree, I would rather be talking about the budget, the fact of the matter is that those kinds of bills are still coming up. They're still trying to erode the Bill of
Rights. Can you give me an example of one?
Yes, actually. They tried to put crisis pregnancy centers like Pregnancy Matters out of business. They are trying to increase the number of restrictions on concealed carry rather than reducing the number of restrictions on concealed carry. Those are bills that have come up in the last legislative session, and we need to be prepared to fight against those. I agree 100% that we need to be focused on the budget and remedying the situation that we have in our state, our fiscal crisis. But we also need to be prepared to fight against those Chicago, Cook County assaults on the Bill of Rights.
All right, when it comes to the budget issues that we're looking at here, last week we saw a flurry of activity. You know, $1,200,000,000 for this, community colleges, and then eventually I think it was a $3.7 billion piece of legislation that was presented to fund our higher education. And when they were calling the $200 million bills shams, well, the $3.7 billion, you know how that was responded to. I mean, we are seeing this flurry of activity, but the fact is, we don't see much real, meaningful movement.
I agree. I was telling someone the other day when I was on the campaign trail that we probably need to get Governor Rauner and Madigan and just put them in a cage match and see who can ultimately come out victorious. And then that particular person could have their budget passed. Because right now, we're just in a power struggle. That's what it is. It's a power struggle. And I firmly believe that ego and arrogance has no place at the bargaining table. We need to all be humble in this and figure out what our absolute necessities are and how we can work together to hammer out a budget for the state. Right now, with all the court orders that are going on, we are funding various programs that should be funded, don't get me wrong. but they're funding them at the level that we had when we still had the income tax increase. And so that's making our state go further and further into debt. And we absolutely have got to get together and work out our differences and do something for the better of the people. And I think I'm the right candidate to do that, quite frankly. I am not backed by the governor, and I'm not backed by the Democrats. Obviously, I'm a conservative Republican. I'm the only conservative Republican running. I think it's very important that we have some independence here. The governor's office and his friends that with the Illinois Liberty Principles PAC, where he has sent a lot of money to the Liberty Principles PAC. And they've already spent almost $100,000 against me in this particular race because they know I'm independent and I won't be dominated by the governor or any other particular special interest group.
Has Governor Rauner bit off more than he can chew when it comes to dealing with the unions in this state? I know that's kind of a colloquialism, but that seems to be the centerpiece in which so much of what's going on, the bitterness as well, when it comes to unions. I mean, has the governor been too forceful? Has not been lack of willing to cooperate? Is that how we found ourselves there? Or have the Democrats just successfully pinned it on Rauner, even though he's one of the newest people in Springfield?
Well, Republicans and Democrats alike are responsible for the mess here. It was a Republican governor who first started to underfund the pensions. So I think, and a lot of Republicans don't really like to talk about that fact. I think it's important that we all look in the mirror and look honestly at what we've done ourselves to contribute to the mess. Now, as far as Governor Rauner is concerned, I think it's, I think he kind of got off on a bad foot by wanting to get a fair share or, he's considered a union buster, is basically. And he's actually backed away from a lot of those proposals, but he still wears that label. He still wears that brand. And so now the unions have really dug in their heels and aren't willing to listen to anything that he has to say. And I don't necessarily disagree that they have a reason to be concerned. I think there needs to be balance. I think there has been some abuse in some of the leaders of the unions. We have heard stories of union bosses who have worked for one or two days and then gotten a full pension at over $100,000. That's wrong. But every time, excuse me, that I'm out on the campaign trail and I talk to members of the unions, they all agree that that's wrong. They want to see that change. However, they also want to make sure that their pension, their small pension, has been preserved. And I think there's also a huge misperception among Republicans that I've spoken to in Chicago and the Republicans that are kind of calling the shots in this race, that state workers are sitting on these fat pensions, they're all overpaid, they're lazy, they don't do anything. And that's absolutely not the case. I am the daughter of a prison social worker, and I know for a fact how hard state workers work, that they deserve their pensions, that that's what they signed on for when they came into the job. And we need to make sure that we protect existing pensions no matter what.
You know, when it comes to these pensions, when you look at the average pension, teacher's pension in, say, Union County, it's like $32,000 or $33,000, something like that, last time I saw a figure.
Yeah.
But then again, you've got Donald Strong, teacher's union, who has collected to date $3,633,776, while his own payment into the government pension was a meager $95,659.
Exactly what I'm talking about.
Now, this is the worst offenders list, you know, when it comes to teachers' pensions. But the fact is, Sherry Langenstein is joining us this morning. And I want to reiterate now, the phone lines are open. If you've got a phone call for the candidate, now's your time to call 985-5803 or star 1340. It's 985-5803 or star 1340. The fact is, they say 111, probably 118 or above billion dollars. Billion?
Billion.
Is it billion? It's a billion, isn't it? $118 billion?
For our budget?
Yeah. For the pension.
For the pensions?
Yeah.
Yes, as in the billions that it's underfunded. I mean, Leslie Munger, our state controller, was speaking not too long ago, and she said that even if we reinstated the income tax hike that we'd had, and even if we raised taxes, you know, across the board, there's no way we're going to become solvent anytime in the next few years. It's ridiculous. But we need to be looking at some short-term solutions, but we also need to be looking at long-term solutions. One of the things that the governor has talked about is he would like to see the prison population reduced. As a former criminal prosecutor, I actually agree with him on that. I think that it's very expensive to house some of these offenders, but we don't want to risk public safety. And there's ways that we can go about that that are economically feasible. For example, we need to better utilize drug courts. We need to have nonviolent offenders. Not be going to prison is a lot less expensive to divert them into rehab rather than incarcerating them. We also have programs like Big Brothers Big Sisters, which is an organization on which I used to serve on the board. I'm very passionate about Big Brothers Big Sisters. It's a mentoring program, a one-on-one mentoring program for at-risk children. And we have seen there have been numerous studies that have been performed, and participation in Big Brothers Big Sisters will reduce the rate at which a child will go into the system, that the rate at which a child will become incarcerated at some point in time in his or her life. And so we need to look at those kinds of solutions. We shouldn't be unfunding Big Brothers Big Sisters if we really have the long-term goal of reducing the number of people who are incarcerated. So and the last thing on that is people say, well, we don't want to lose the prisons because we don't want to lose the jobs. We have got to get economic opportunity. We need to bring 21st century jobs to Southern Illinois. And if we do that, then we won't be worried about losing the prison jobs. If we can bring coal back in Southern Illinois, then we won't be worried about losing the jobs that the state provides. We can have those jobs in the private sector instead.
But can we attract business to Illinois under the current fiscal situation? Don't we have to at some point cure our own fiscal ills before manufacturers like AIM over the weekend saying, look, we want some certainty from some lawmakers here for we're willing to come to Illinois. Can we do one without having done the other first? Can we attract business? Can we have jobs? Can we attract high tech while we've got this sort of Damocles literally hanging over the fate of Illinois?
You're right. It's a double-edged sword. I mean, how do we go about wanting businesses to come here and families to stay here? But the problem is if we don't stop the bleeding of families out of Illinois, then we're just making the situation worse because we need that tax base. We need people to be here, adding to the economy, paying into the income taxes and the sales taxes and the real estate taxes. So that's incredibly important to keep families here. And that's actually one of the main foci of my campaign, is that we need to make sure that we make Southern Illinois attractive to families. There are a couple of ways that we can go about that. First of all, we need to bring businesses here. And how do we do that? Well, it's not a really sexy issue, but it's something I'm very passionate about, is we need workman's compensation reform. And this is one area in which the governor and I actually agree. We have a numerous small construction businesses, other small businesses that I've spoken to. Their workman's comp insurance premiums are astronomical. And there's two reasons for that. The first reason for that is because our workman's comp system, as it currently exists, encourages fraud. So say you're I'm the employer, Tom, and you are out on the golf course and you've been off of work for 3 months on workman's comp, and I catch you red-handed out there swinging a golf club, even though you supposedly have a back injury. I can take you before the workman's comp arbitrator and I can get your payments stopped, but I cannot legally recover the payments that were made to you fraudulently for those last 3 months. I can't recover those. So that's one thing that we need to be able to do. We need to discourage the fraud. The other thing is, if you're out working on your garage or you're cleaning your gutters of your house some weekend and you fall and you hurt your back, well, then you find a way to go back to work and you quote unquote re-injure your back. If only 2% of your injury was caused at work and 98% of your injury was caused at home, your employer still has to pay 100% of your medical costs. And that has got to stop as well. And if we can fix those two issues, then we can reduce workman's comp insurance premiums and we can encourage businesses to grow and continue to open in Southern Illinois.
State Representative John Bradley on that very topic spoke here recently and said, look, we've already implemented workers' comp. The savings haven't found their way to the businesses yet. And that's where we need to start.
As far as
workman's comp in Illinois, we implemented, we did, you know, change workman's comp. We did make it better. But the savings aren't finding their way to the business, and that's what need to be addressed.
I would disagree with Representative Bradley on that. They implemented changes, but they weren't the reforms that I was just talking about. Those are the two reforms that we still have to have. Those are the two reforms that will dramatically reduce the workman's compensation premiums. And then employers will have more money to pay their employees, or they will have more money to hire new employees. And that's one of the ways that we can get businesses growing. I don't think a lot of people realize that those small to medium-sized businesses, businesses that employ 499 or fewer employees, are the creators of 65% of all new jobs. So it's those small to medium-sized businesses that we really have to focus on, and what are the reforms that they need. And they've said that they need that workman's comp reform. They say that they need regulatory reform, and they need tort reform. Illinois is a haven for lawyers, and I am one, and I really don't particularly care for lawyers all that much. I am not a litigious attorney. And I think that tort reform is another thing that we could do that would make businesses want to locate here. Last thing I wanted to mention on that real quick is that we need to improve our communications infrastructure in Southern Illinois. If we can bring high-speed internet and better cellular coverage, those are things that businesses have said they can really use. I've talked to hospital systems who have said that that would mean everything to them to be able to have better communications infrastructure put into place. And when a family is looking to move to Illinois, obviously the first thing they are looking at is whether or not they have a job. But they're also looking at these things. They're looking at good hospitals. They're looking at good schools. And they're looking at things like that, whether there's internet available, there's high-speed internet, whether they're going to have good cell coverage. Those are things that are important to the quality of life of people here. And ask any real estate agent and they'll tell you that those are things that are important to people if they're looking to relocate to our area.
They're important, and I live here now. I mean, literally, you know, when I hear you talking, I'm going, yeah, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
There's a couple of places where the state police would go really like to have their cell phones work too.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's interesting when you come upon that subject. This will be the last time you and I get the opportunity to speak on the air before the election 1 week from tomorrow. In the final 60 seconds of today's interview, Sherry Langenstein, Republican candidate, 58th Senate District. This is the seat currently held by Dave Luchtefeld. You've got 60 seconds to tell people why vote Sherry Langenstein in the March 15th primary for the 58th Senate seat. What's the answer to that question? What's the statement you have for potential voters today?
I think that the voters need to understand the differences between myself and my opponent. We've both said that we're pro-life, but I ask everyone who's listening who is pro-life, do you think that keeping abortion legal until 16 weeks is a pro-life position? I do not hold that position, but my opponent does. I have been here working side by side with people in Southern Illinois. I have volunteered hundreds of hours to help the people of Southern Illinois with their legal issues, to help promote the issues of the causes for children here in Southern Illinois. I was out cooking for people in the river bottoms when we needed to. I will always choose serving the people of Southern Illinois over getting elected. I don't want to be a career politician. I've never intended to be a career politician. I have no desire to run for any sort of higher office. I'm running for Senate because people ask me to run because they believe that I am truly the person who can serve the people of Southern Illinois the best. I am not backed by any Cook County party establishment. I am only backed by the grassroots people here in Southern Illinois. And I guarantee you that I will be there for you, not for Governor Rauner, not for the Cook County Republican machine, not for any particular interest. I'm only there for the people of Southern Illinois if you give me the honor and privilege of becoming your elected representative.
58th Senate seat candidate Sherry Langenstein, Republican Party. See her on the ballot Tuesday, March 15th. Sherry, once again, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
840.